Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Well, hello, my friends. It is amazing to be with you. How are you doing today?
Good.
We have so many exciting things going on in our church, and God is moving and doing incredible things. Would anybody agree? Yeah. BT Dubs, happy St. Patrick's Day. I am not wearing green, but I just wanted you to know black is the new green. And, you know, I got Irish blood flowing through my veins, so I'm green inside. So let's do this. Today we are starting a new series of teachings we are calling Awe and Wonder. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like that title brings us, it pulls us into the bigness and the mystery of God. I actually want you to just even imagine yourself right now walking in the awe and wonder of God, what that would be like, what that is, becoming mystified, if you will, by the beauty, majesty, and the glory of God's creation, surrendered to the wonder of his universe, waking up even in the morning, considering the vastness of God's thoughts. His thoughts and his knowledge are endless. The Word of God says that he knows every hair on your head. The average person has about 100,000 hairs on their head. So God knows if you have 100,025 hairs, and if the person next to you has 987,000 hairs, and if that one guy that has 57 hairs, but he combs them over just to give us the impression of more. And then, of course, Caleb, who has no hair. Yeah, so we all know this is true. The awe and wonder of God is this big epic crescendo that's like his vast thoughts and his amazing knowledge knows no end. And it's a statement that's intended to live not way out in this existential sort of mystery of la la land, the awe and wonder of God. No, it's intended to live right here in our hearts. It's intended to give us a perspective and to ground us in our view of the world. And our view of the world is not this visceral, physical place, but that there is supernatural wonder every day of our lives in everything we see. Psalm 65:8 says this: the whole earth, everyone say the whole earth. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Everyone say awe and wonder. Everywhere we look, we are living in the awe and wonder of God. The awe and wonder of what Jesus has done through the cross and through this resurrection. The awe and wonder of what God continues to do through his Spirit. So today, I just want to kind of give a little bit of a setup, a little bit of a disclaimer even for what this message is going to be today. This message is a message that's really setting the stage for the next number of weeks that we are going to be in this series together. So we are going to certainly do some work today that's going to deal with things today, but we're also going to be doing some setup. We are going to be planning, preparing, and posturing ourselves for what's coming. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, today's message is titled, Disrupt Your Norm. Disrupt Your Norm. Look at one of your neighbors and just say, Disrupt Your Norm. Say it like you mean it to them. Disrupt Your Norm. So I want to begin with that card that you had in your chair today. You can pull that out if you want. The same things will be on the screen, but I want you to check this out. Starting March 25th through April 3rd, I'm setting the stage, we will be doing something in this series that we're calling the 10 Days of Awe. So I want to take 10 minutes to talk about 10 days. All right, 10 minutes, 10 days, here we go. Let's check this out. Next slide, if you will. The 10 Days of Awe, 6 ways, if you will, to engage in this, to disrupt the norm and walk in the awe and wonder of God. Now, that already should sound good to you, because who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to disrupt sort of the mundane, if you will, the norm of at least to some degree, right? To get out of the rut that maybe you are in, to experience something new, to experience something that'll help you grow. Well, these 10 days will begin with the start of Holy Week, which will go through Easter and the 3 days after Easter to Wednesday, which happens to be our next first Wednesday gathering, but also reminding us that the tomb is still empty, right? So, 6 ways to engage through the 10 days of awe. Y'all ready? AKA, these are your disruptions, all right? Number one, daily devotion, 10 days of awe and wonder devotional, available, if you will, on the app and on the website starting next Sunday. We're going to have a brand new series of devotions that are going to be for these 10 days of awe that'll walk you through Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter, and again, the few days right after Easter. And I just thought it'd be fun to show you the slate of devotionals that we're going to be doing. These are the titles, and Disrupt the Norm, which is a little bit of an extension of what we're doing today. Hallowed be your name. Remember all the things. The awesome burden. Dusty goats. Holy, holy, holy. The champion of the world. Peace be with you. Passover to Pentecost. Wander to wonder. So I just wanted to let you know this is going to be the greatest devotional of all time. All time. Maybe. Depending on the devotionals you've read in the past. We'll see. But no, this is going to be happening. And then number two, the next thing of the six ways to engage. 10 days of prayer. You can sign up for time in the prayer room. How many of you guys have done these seasons of prayer with us before? You've signed up on a big banner in the hallway. Yeah. So that is happening starting today. In 8 days, we start what's called 10 days of prayer. And we are hoping to fill every hour in our prayer room between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. every day for 10 straight days. And I believe we can do it. We've done this over the years. Since 2018, we've had multiple intentional seasons of prayer, always connected to Holy Week, plus other ones throughout the year. We've had 7 days of prayer, 10 days of prayer. We've had 14 days of prayer. We've had 21 days of prayer. We've had, 100 hours of prayer. We've had a lot of different ways that we've done this, and God has worked through all of them powerfully, that we would stop, and as a church, we would become a house of prayer. We would contend in prayer. How many of you guys know that's important, right? It says, if my people who are called by my name, are we called by his name? Yes. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is the promise of God. So we are inviting all of you in. All are welcome, right? To pray and to be a part of this, to sign up and to pray for a prayer shift in our prayer room. And so you can sign up today on the banners in the lobby. On Sundays, it's in-person signups only on the big banners. On Monday through Thursday, you can sign up online. Super easy. You hit the prayer room or 10 days of prayer little link on the website or the app, and then it takes you there, and it's very easy to navigate. And if you've done this, you get it. You know what to expect. If you've never done it, I would say try it. Like, it's kind of like with Alpha. We always say try Alpha. If you've never done it, try it. Try the prayer room. I promise you it's worth it. And once again, how many of you guys have actually ever been into our prayer room and used our prayer room before? Anybody? Yeah, a lot of us. I mean, 30, 40% of us. I'm hoping we get like 60, 75% of us after the time this is over. A whole bunch of new people trying this out, right? Every time we do seasons of prayer, I'm going to spend just a little longer on number two. Is that okay? Because it's about prayer. How many of you guys know that everything begins and ends with? Mm-hmm. Okay, every time we do seasons of nonstop prayer, I take us to this verse in Isaiah chapter 62. It says this, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. They will never be silent. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him, meaning God, no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praises of the earth. Let me explain this verse really quickly. This is the prophetic word about God's people contending in day and night prayer, never silent, day or night, posted like watchmen on walls, asking God to restore their city. How many of you want God to restore this city, right? To see God move powerfully in this city. When Isaiah wrote this to the people, he was talking to a remnant of people who had not grown cold. A whole bunch of God's people had grown cold in their heart. And he's talking to those who have not grown cold and saying, will you keep praying? You need to keep the fire burning. I need you to keep the fire in your heart burning, and you need to start crying out to the God. So keep praying, keep asking, right? Keep knocking, keep seeking. God will renew his people. For years, the scripture has inspired us here at OKC Community to be relentless in prayer. And I believe that the Bible shows us time and time again that the kingdom of heaven here on earth hinges on prayer. Doesn't mean God needs prayer, but he uses prayer, that those who would bow to him, he will release his power, he will set his fire loose and his purpose free through prayer. So prayer isn't just about you, by the way. This is about a prayer movement. This is about being a part of something that is bigger than yourself. to join into something that you would say, okay, I believe that when I do something that's bigger than me, that I will be a part of something that will not only transform us, but eventually it also transforms me. So sign up for prayer today, 8 days from now. Now is the time to pray. We need you to pray, and I'm just going to give this last little thing. If you think, oh, that's not for me, that's for someone else to fill up the hours, that's not really my thing, I'm just telling you, all that's wrong. This is for you. It's for all of us. We believe that prayer is the pathway to God's presence and the doorway to his power, because everything begins and ends with
prayer.
One more time. I love it. Okay, so let's lean in and pray. Next one, number three, Holy Week noonday gatherings. What is this? Well, that's a good question. Glad you asked. We are doing something brand new this year. We realize this is going to be difficult. This isn't going to work for everybody's schedule, but maybe you'll find a way. Maybe you'll disrupt your norm. Specifically, during Holy Week, Monday through Thursday, we are having a daily worship gathering at 12 p.m., short and sweet, about 45 minutes, intended to kind of be in the quote-unquote, if there is such a thing anymore, lunch hour, right? And so we want this vision to be an interruption, if you will, to your day and to your week. And we would hope that you would come to some or all, or, you know, if you can come to one, come to as many as you can, because we believe we're going to be intentional with it about growing our hearts, not only worship, scriptures, thankfulness, gratitude through the Holy Week. And then, like I said, short and sweet, but amazing for those who come to as many of these as you can. Number four, kind of tied to this one, is the Good Friday gatherings on March 29th. As an extension of noonday gatherings, Good Friday is a little unique because we add another time. And not only is it Good Friday, which is an important day in and of itself, but we add an additional time. We have two Good Friday gatherings. You just choose one of them, whichever one works. So if noon doesn't work for you, we have a 7 a.m. one. Yay, early risers. And come to either one. And this is an amazing time to focus, of course, on the sacrifice of Christ and what Good Friday and the Easter weekend is all about. And we remember what Jesus did on the cross. And then number five, invite someone to Easter service. We've been encouraging us to be delighted to share, right? Delighted to share the good news. We're having two services on Easter, as we've been talking about. We're going to create a lot more room. I mean, if we feel like if everybody showed up on the same Sunday, we wouldn't have room here. And so we want everybody to show up on the same Sunday, plus have room to bring friends and family. And so that's what's happening on that day. We just taught 3 weeks on this series, All Are Welcome. And we just want you to know that all are invited in. God is inviting in everyone in. Remember, an empty chair is a vision for a person, right? A person who needs to hear about God and be encouraged by God. And so let's fill the empty. Amen. How many of you guys believe that God wants to reach more people? Anybody? Yeah. So let's do it. Easter Sunday, the awe and wonder of God. And then number six, First Wednesday and baptism celebration happening on April 3rd. We are ending the 10 days of awe at First Wednesday. And by celebrating with baptism that night, we'll probably have additional baptisms the Sunday after as well. It will be a perfect way to end our 10 days. So that's it. That's the six ways to engage in the 10 days of awe. How many of you guys are with it? All right, good. Each of these are disruptive in nature on purpose. They may not be what we usually do. They may not be convenient, but I just want you to know we actually created them with that in mind. It's not going to be convenient or normal. We are doing them for a specific purpose. Let me say it this way. I believe God wants to disrupt our and wander with awe and wonder. Isn't that the truth about us? We're all like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know what God wants. I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't care. I don't know. And it's just always and wander through life. And how many of you would rather live in awe and wonder? Is anybody with me today? Yeah. I'm excited for this series in the next few weeks because I believe God's wanting to do something in us that's going to provoke a perspective that is life-shaping. So I'm going to pause and pray. That was a lot of plans. I know that was very abnormal for a sermon just to kind of go through a schedule, but that's a vision, isn't it? So let me pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and move during the rest of our time together. Holy Spirit, we do invite you to come. We pray blessings and we pray power over everything that's coming. And Lord, we pray now that as we transition to just allowing you to speak to our hearts today, that God, you would draw near to those who need you. Draw near to every one of us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So the 10 Days of Awe is just a part of this series. We're going to be in this series for something like 35 days, and the 10 Days of Awe sort of sits in the middle of it. But I just wanted to add that the 10 Days of Awe actually has scriptural roots. This isn't just some creative idea to kind of spin off of Easter or kind of give a creative new take on it. So let's head back in time, shall we? Let's go back to the year 1300 BC. Y'all ready? This is like so 3,000 years ago, right? I want to point us to the origin of the 10 Days of Awe. We find it actually in the book of Leviticus, everybody's favorite book, written over 3,000 years ago. It's more commonly called the Days of Awe, but it is the 10 days between two Jewish holidays or holy days, right? That's where we get the word holidays. Two Jewish holy days. And the first holiday is the holy day of Rosh Hashanah. Everyone say Rosh Hashanah, which is considered the New Year's Day on the Jewish calendar, which kicks off the high holy days or the Days of Awe, and it ends with Yom Kippur. Everyone say Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement when you're looking in the scriptures. And so this is actually the holiest day of the year in which people would receive forgiveness and atonement for their sins. So this is a period of 10 days that existed between the new year and God's atonement. This is actually in the Bible. All right, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites on the first day, which day? First day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. So in the scriptures, this is actually the Feast of Trumpets, if you've ever seen that before. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, the tenth day of the seventh month, which day? Yeah, is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. So the scriptures go on from there, talk more about the Day of Atonement. But here you see it. The first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, which is now called Rosh Hashanah. And the 10 days later is the 10th day, Day of Atonement, which is now known as Yom Kippur. These 10 days are a time in which God's people would identify themselves with the awesome burden of their sin. They would repent. They would forgive others. They would make peace with God. They would sacrifice. And it all ended with God's atonement for sins for all the people for the previous year. So if you think about it, this was a designated time to get their lives right with God. How many of you guys know that's not a bad idea to have an annual tradition, a designated time to get your life right with God? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to get right with your mind, heart, and soul. So, as a church now, though, who believes in Jesus, we don't actually need to go through this in these ceremonial festivals, these religious practices, like they did 3,000 years ago. Jesus, who is the centerpiece of history, came and changed everything about everything, didn't he? He came and changed everything about everything, and we find atonement for our sins through Christ alone. Jews, though, they actually still practice this today, the Days of Awe. So the question may be, if you really want to get underneath this, is say, if we don't have to do this, then why are we doing it? Why are we having the 10 Days of Awe? Well, at a practical level, we are doing the 10 Days of Awe to disrupt your norm and that we may more naturally walk in the awe and wonder of God. And then more deeper, at a deeper level, I think there is a tremendous value in learning more about the story of God and the story of the people of God, and understanding how that all connects to who Jesus is. Because I've always said this, you have to understand Jesus fully, you have to understand Leviticus. So everybody's like, I don't want to read Leviticus. Well, you're not going to fully grasp the picture of what Jesus has done for us. So I want to pause on this statement, though, that I've said a number of times already. Disrupt your norm. So look at your neighbor and just say, disrupt your norm. Now, only you could know or should know or you would know if you could disrupt your normal routine. Maybe you think your norm is perfect as is, meaning you are crushing it in life right now. Maybe that's where you're at and you're thinking that. Maybe you've been crafting the perfect daily routine for years and you're like, I don't want to change my norm. I got my flow down. Anyone feel like they have a morning flow that they kind of do every day? Anybody, just raise your hand if you have like a morning flow. You got a morning flow? There's a lot of you that don't have a morning flow. What are you doing? You're either lying right now or this place is pure chaos in this room. You're like, I don't know, I just get up and whatever happens, happens. I thought there'd be like 100% of hands. Just tell the person next to you real quick, what's one of the things you do right when you get up? Tell them, go. All right. How many first three things you're doing coffee in the first three movements of your day? Okay, good. Some of us. How many of you it's brushing your teeth in the first three or two or three? Yeah. Hopefully that's a good thing. The things that are normal to us are normal for a reason. There are preferences. They're the things we like. There are conveniences. There are must-dos. We default to those things on purpose. We believe in them to some measure. And so I just want you to know, when I say disrupt your norm, I'm actually not talking about things like your morning routine. Hey, if you want to get up and brush your teeth before you drink coffee, cool. If you want to drink coffee, then brush your teeth, it's weird, but do it. Whatever you want to do. I don't care. When I say disrupt your norm, I'm not messing with morning coffee. And I realize if I did, that we might have a rebellion in the room, right? Like, people are like, why'd you leave OKC Community? Pastor said I couldn't drink coffee. He said, make God first. I'm not here to mess with that. But I want you to consider something. Y'all ready? About to turn. Do you think God wants to disrupt you? Do you think God wants to disrupt you? I didn't ask, do you want God to disrupt you? I asked, do you think God wants to disrupt you? I would propose that God legitimately and consistently works through disruption. He disrupts lives in all sorts of ways. Unexpected miracle. He opens a door. He closes a door. He calls us to something we never saw coming. He connects us to a person that changes our life. Many of the great ways that God works in our life is through the power of disruption. And I've actually thought quite a bit about this over the years. I've even studied a little bit because it seems to be that industries and leaders who really want to see growth happen, they use disruption. Businesses have, for years, used this as a way of doing things. For example, do you guys remember the global pandemic we went through a few years ago? I think it was like COVID, Corona, the Rona, whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah, it was sort of a big deal. It was a major disruption to everything that we do, to our lives, to our norms. And businesses through that quickly had to deal with the disruption. But the best businesses didn't deal with the disruption. They joined the disruption. They made friends with the disruption. And I remember reading CEO of Disney, Bob Iger's book. And some of you are like, why are you reading his book? Because he's a leader. This was before the pandemic. But he said, don't just accept the disruptions. Join the disruptions. He actually said that he intentionally creates disruption in his business in order to grow them. Isn't this what leaders do, right? Leaders disrupt the norm for the sake of growth. And similarly, this is what I mean by God is legitimately and consistently working through disruption. So many of us, we look for the status quo. We look for consistently. We look for simplicity. We look for something that we aren't getting disrupted, right? He disrupts the mundane and the mediocre in us so we don't settle for the status quo. Spiritually, God disrupts the norm for the sake of our growth. I believe God is always looking for people who are willing to leave behind mediocre versions of faith so that they can courageously scale the walls of normalcy for the sake of God's kingdom. I say that all the time, but I believe it. Do you really get it? Perhaps God wants to disrupt your norms. Perhaps God has something new and different and exciting and better. Perhaps he wants to do something in you that you never saw coming. Perhaps he wants you to scale the walls of normalcy in your life. Some of us are stuck in the cycle of normal, and we need God to disrupt us. So when Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan, and many of you know this story, so I'll just kind of summarize it. But when he told the story, the parable from Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan, the story is very simple. There was a man on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, right? And on his way, some robbers came up, some bandits came up, and they robbed him, stripped him, beat him, left him for dead on the side of the road. Three people encounter this nearly dead man on the side of the road. This is a story about disruption. The first is a priest. He walks by. He acts like he didn't notice him. You ever done that? I just didn't see him. Like we have no peripheral. And then the next guy walks by, and he's a Levite, which is also a religious leader, and he hurries by as well and acts like he doesn't notice him, which is making the priest and the pastors look really bad right now. Finally, a Samaritan walks by who, by the way, the Samaritans, as we know, many of you at least, that they are the religious enemies of the Jews, and this man on the side of the road is a Jew. So the Samaritan stops at the side of this beaten Jewish man, ignores the differences and the prejudices, and takes him, fixes him up, and makes sure that he is in good care. Wouldn't it be good if God disrupted us in such a way that we would ignore differences and prejudices? It's like, Jesus, help us, right? Help us, Lord. Only the Samaritan is willing to have his day disrupted. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was an amazing German Christian pastor, theologian, during World War II in the Nazi regime, he was actually a German fighting against Hitler. He was imprisoned in a concentration camp and executed in that camp in 1945, right before the war ended. He wrote this in one of his books called Life Together. He said, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks. It's a strange fact that Christians frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. They think that they are doing God a service in this, but actually they are disdaining God's crooked yet straight path." I love that line, crooked yet straight path, a reference to how God's ways often look crooked to us, but it's his ways that are actually straight. Meaning, what seems disruptive is actually God's way of helping us see the awe and wonder of what he's doing in this world. Now, I don't think this means that we're going to throw all, this is not a message to say throw all your plans out the window. Sometimes disruptions are disruptions. Sometimes I look at the dude that just disrupted me, and that's all it was. It's like, bruh, ain't nobody got time for this. Like, leave me alone. Like, that happens. Think about, though, the stories in the scripture that are about holy disruption. I can go on and on. Acts 3, Peter and John going to the temple to pray. They are disrupted by a man who needed healing. And they took that moment and they actually allowed the Lord to work through them. And not only was their days disrupted, but then the entire city was disrupted by their faithfulness. Jesus walking through Jericho, he hears two blind men crying out to him for help. He doesn't say, be quiet. He doesn't walk by them. He doesn't act like he can't hear them. Anybody ever done that one? Parents? Kids are crying out. You're like, I didn't hear nothing. Paul on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. Jesus meets him on the road, disrupts his plans, changes his destiny. Peter and Andrew, fishermen, disrupted. Matthew, a tax collector, disrupted. The Good Samaritan, disruption. Moses, you want to talk about disruption? He is living a quiet life as a shepherd, and God shows up in all of his holiness, and he leads him into a life that he never saw coming. In Luke 5, I'm about done. But in Luke 5, there was this incredible moment at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. One day, Jesus was teaching in the house of a local friend, and the house was crowded, like it was packed to the brim, overflowing with people. And of course, if you know this story, there was four men who brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. They were hoping that Jesus could help him. They carried him on a mat, and they were bringing him to Jesus. But the house was so crowded that they couldn't find a way in, so they got creative, and they climbed onto the roof and began removing some tiles and digging through the dirt and dramatically opened a hole in the roof and dropped the man through the hole into the feet of Jesus, interrupting Jesus by, if you think about that, Jesus is in the middle of a sermon. Everybody's crowded wanting to hear them, and all of a sudden there's this disruption of a man coming through the roof right in front of them. But that wasn't the real disruption. The disruption was what Jesus did. The scriptures say that Jesus looked at the man and then looked at the friends up and looking through the new hole in the roof. And then he looked at the man and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat, go home." And the man who had been paralyzed for his entire life and everyone knew it, he stood up, picked up his mat, and walked out in the sight of everyone. And the religious leaders in that moment, they were confused and concerned. They shouted at Jesus and said, "Who are you to forgive sins?" their norms, their beliefs, that was not okay. They weren't ready for something new. They weren't ready for God to show up and just show off. They weren't ready for the awe and wonder of God in their life. But the people who were there, who were willing to let God do something new, well, something happened to them. Luke 5:26, this is the response of the people that were there that day. Right after this man had come through the roof and been healed. And when it says everyone, it means everyone with a little bit of a caveat. There was a group of people that were not okay with this. But it says everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. And they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." I mean, what a line. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. I mean, can you imagine that moment? Everybody's like, yeah, God did that. Jesus did that. Let me ask you a real question. Do you want to walk in the awe and wonder of God? This is the vision. This is why we are doing this series. We want to be gripped with great wonder and awe, praising God and exclaiming of the amazing things that God is doing. So here's how I want to close. I told you today is a setting the stage moment. But I want to close with a prayer. And here, I'll put it on screen. But the prayer is simple. Disrupt me and fill me with awe and wonder. Disrupt me and fill me with awe and wonder. Disruption for disruption's sake is pointless. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not suggesting change for the sake of change. I mean, change is inevitable, but it is not always beneficial. I'm talking about a holy disruption in your life. Disrupt me, God, and fill me with your awe and wonder. Interrupt me for your sake. Give me eyes to see your purpose. Disrupt me in order to grow me. Disrupt my norms in order to experience something unusual. Awaken me. Some of us, can I just say it? Some of us are going through the motions. Some of us, we have a routine that it's bigger than a morning routine, but it doesn't allow for God to disrupt you. Disrupt me with salvation. Disrupt me with healing. Disrupt me with breakthrough. Disrupt me with your power, with miracles, with repentance. Disrupt my bad habits. Father, disrupt me by breaking my battles, right? Disrupt me by opening a door, God, by closing a door, by showing me your will. Disrupt me by showing me how great you are. Disrupt me in my ways of thinking. Disrupt me in my preconceived notions. Disrupt all the normal beliefs I have. Expand my view of you, God, and make me more faithful, God. Disrupt me, Lord. I want to be changed. I want to be disrupted by you. God, consistently works through the power of holy disruption. So back to the question, do you think God wants to disrupt you? The answer is absolutely yes. Not to derail you, but to propel you. Soft heart versus a stubborn heart. Where are you? Willing spirit versus a reluctant spirit. Where are you? Aware of God's presence or too busy to notice? Where are you? Disrupt me, God. Fill me with awe and wonder. You see how that prayer, like, it starts to seep into every day. What will you do today that in the coming days and weeks and months, you won't walk by the ministry that God is putting in your path, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, or you won't miss the miracle because of your normal beliefs, like those in the paralyzed man's healing? Disrupt me, God. Lead me out of a life of awe and wonder into a life of awe and wonder. So I want to pray that today. I want to lead us in that prayer today. If you want to, you can just bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want to lead us today. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us up. Fill those who are empty today. Fill those who are hungry today in the name of Jesus. Even fill those who aren't even paying attention to you right now. Lord, would you come right now? those of us who are stuck in the cycle of normal, would you come right now? Let me just lead you in this, if you're willing. Just hear this, because we're going to pray that prayer that I put on the screen, and we're going to pray it if you want to. So as a way to respond, if you are here today and you desire God to disrupt you and fill you with awe and wonder, meaning you desire God to move in your life, if you want to experience something new and fresh and powerful, if you would like to pray that today, it doesn't matter where you are in your faith journey. You could be a believer for the last several decades, or you could be someone who's still searching and hasn't quite figured out the God thing. You can pray this prayer. You can pray this prayer. All you gotta do is just have a heart that says, Lord, I'm open. If you're here and you desire God to just disrupt your life with some more awe and wonder, maybe as a way of responding before we just say a prayer, would you just lift your hand all over the room? You're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but I would like that. I would like it. Come on, God. I need you, Lord. Thank you for raising your hand. So many of us. So just pray this with me. If this is your heart today, just say, disrupt me, God. Just say that to him right now. You can whisper that prayer. Disrupt me, God, and fill me with awe and wonder. That's all it is. Disrupt me, God. Say it. And fill me with awe and wonder. I want to make one more very specific invitation today. If you are here and you describe yourself as someone who hasn't quite figured God out yet, who doesn't know where you stand with Jesus, maybe you've been searching, you've been trying to understand, I just want you to hear today that first of all, God sees you and God loves you. Like more than anything, I want you to hear that God loves you and that he knows you. Remember, he knows every hair on your head. My invitation to you is simply this. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and I will give you rest. He says, come follow me. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The scriptures say, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus invites us to come to him, to follow him, to receive life. And so if this morning you want to get right with God and to enter into a relationship with him, it begins with just saying, God loves me and I want to be in relationship with him. It begins by saying, God, I need you in my life. I surrender my life to you and I trust in you. So if you'd like to pray that prayer, if you'd like to say that to God today, I can help you. Many of us in this room, including me, have prayed a prayer like this in a service like this, and it was the start of our life with Christ. It's a moment of your salvation. So if you're ready and you'd like to pray this prayer, just say this to him. Just repeat this prayer. I'm going to help you. Just say, God, I need you. Just say that to him right now. God, I need you. I need you. Now say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender it to you. Now pray, please forgive me of my sin. Then there's a commitment. I will follow you all the days of my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for loving me and for saving me. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, we believe that is the moment of your salvation. We believe that as we surrender to God and we invite God to come in through Jesus Christ, that we are now experiencing the gift of salvation. And I want to ask you to do one more step of faith today. If you just prayed that prayer, would you just be willing, no one's looking around, just to lift your hand, because I want to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer, just lift your hand where you're at. I see you. I see you. I see you. Mm-hmm. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Keep lifting them up. If you haven't lifted it, I'm going to pray over you. God, thanks so much for the several hands that went up. I pray right now that this moment is as real as it gets, that you would plant this seed of your truth in their life, that it would bring forth new life. Secure this moment in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Can we just celebrate God? He's so good. He's so good. Would you stand with us? Would you stand? I'm going to ask everybody, just kind of stay with us for the next few minutes. We're going to respond in worship. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to talk with you today before you leave. But our prayer team is going to be here through this song and even afterwards. But let's just stay in this moment. This altar is a place to come and to give God thanks and to worship and to say, Lord, disrupt me. Fill me with awe and wonder. So this altar is open for us to respond. Our prayer team is here to pray for needs, to pray for healing, to pray for breakthrough, to pray for anything going on in your life where you're like, I need your power, God. Let's allow this to be a time of ministry where we invite the ministry of Jesus into this time. Let's pray and let's sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.